Hello, and welcome to another episode of Point to Point. It's the show where I drive from one point to another and try to get to the point. Today's point, well, at least the first point, Nintendo is raising prices. You probably have seen this. This has been making the rounds, I think, for a couple days now. But yeah, hey, the price of the Nintendo Switch, the price of the Nintendo Switch Lite, the price of the Nintendo Switch OLED, you know, those 7-8-year-old consoles now, those prices are going up, baby. And I kind of want to talk about why, and in both aspects, I guess. So the first part is tariffs, right? Like, I think it's pretty obvious at this point that the absolute economic suicide that the leadership in the United States is doing is kind of fucking it up for everyone, right? That's kind of not a surprise at this point, the will they, won't they tariff situation that it feels like we've been in kind of since January 20th, continues. And, you know, as a company who is beholden to shareholders and is beholden to, you know, maximizing profits for those shareholders, well, prices go up, right? Like, people are still buying the Switch. I think they've now sold 156 million of the devices at this point. And when the Switch 2 is 450 to 500, and who knows if that price will go up. They did not say it is not going to go up soon. You got to have that lower tier device so that around holiday time, confused grandparents will be purchasing Switch 1s instead of Switch 2s and, you know, put those under the Christmas tree. I think that's kind of the gist of it. Like, it's tariffs, right? Like, there's no real reason that, well, okay, it's tariffs and also, just, you know, a little seasoning, salt and pepper seasoning of corporate greed in there, right? There's not a reason to take the Switch Lite, which is a $200 device, and bump it up to $230 US. Like, component costs, sure, are maybe going up. That's possible. They could also just not sell those. There are also ways that they can change their product offerings. I was joking in a Discord about this the other day, but I feel like this is maybe the best way that they could have done this. You know, they like to put out those collector's edition devices. Bump those prices up. Make them collector edition prices. You know, like, you, instead of getting the low-end device and bumping that up 10%, you at least go to the expensive devices, you know, your OLEDs that are Pokemon flavored, and you just bump those prices up $100. They are collector's items. Charge for them that way. You know, like, does that suck? Yes. All of this sucks. Like, there's not a way to get around the suck on this one. But it seems quite bad to do that, especially with the, I imagine, impending threat of a Nintendo Switch 2 price rise after the holidays, maybe. Either right before or right after. Because, you know, I think this is kind of the narrative of video games this generation anyways. But we are now kind of at the, I wonder how much of this is due to the economic factor of, we continue to talk about the player base for video games kind of peaking or kind of slowing down its growth with everyone going to these forever games and the, like, at this point seems like taken as fact nature of, like, Gen Z and younger gamers who are just not playing The Last of Us in the same kind of strength as, you know, people like you and me, most likely, who are, you know, mid-30s, late 20s, and have had, like, consoles in the past. That's just not how game consumption is happening right now. So there's kind of a leveling out of that. As on average, right, you know, we're in bad economic times to be a person who doesn't have a trust fund. But on average, the amount of money that is spent on video games per person is like possibly going up. Like I know that I have spent more money on games. I don't know how much this bears out in the data. I would have to actually do some research. But I think it basically ends up being that it feels like, at least, that the people who are spending money on games are begrudgingly able to spend a little bit more on games, or they are being bounced out of the hobby completely. And so you see Sony doing that by increasing the price of their consoles kind of everywhere except the US for a little bit. You see that with Xbox kind of doing the one foot in, one foot out of the $80 video games. And now you can see it with Nintendo. Like, even Nintendo is bumping the prices of their old devices up in order to, I don't know, like, I truly don't believe that they're beating out the price of tariffs on this one. Like, they are probably protecting their margins, but component costs and all of that stuff for 7 to 8 year old devices cannot possibly be going up that much, which is kind of one of those things that I wanted to talk about, because I've recently been playing my Switch Lite again. If you've been listening along, you've probably heard that I've been playing Blasphemous for a while. I finished that. I've moved on to Blasphemous 2, and it's been like a generally good time. I've enjoyed playing Blasphemous 2, but I got a weird notification from the NSO app the other day that, oh, I had some platinum points that I could redeem, and isn't that neat? So I went to the NSO app on the Switch Lite, and was greeted by probably the single worst user experience I've had in a really long time, which is I pushed the NSO button, and it took 20 seconds for me from pushing that button to getting an interactable UI with images I could look at. And I kind of had been thinking about this for a while now, because since the Switch 2 came out, my experience on the Switch Lite has been like absolute trash. The games themselves play mostly fine. I haven't had any like big issue with the, I guess, the two or three games that I've played on there. But the UI of the console, the menu system, like all of that. I mean, it was bad to begin with, right? Like, I would not describe the Nintendo Switch 1's menu response to be snappy. But this, at this point, with the, I guess, like the introduction of Switch 2 stuff, it has been like absolute garbage. The store used to like paint pretty slowly, and now I can like, you know, it's another like 10 second wait. I was so baffled by the Nintendo Switch Online thing that is supposed to be the hub for, you know, all of their loyalty stuff and finding out like what's going on the online service. And I had to film it because it was absurd. It took 20 seconds from pushing that button on the dashboard to actually getting a readable, usable menu. And then the little pop-up on the bottom of the official Nintendo Switch Online app says, oh, we're experiencing some slowdown. Close the game you're playing for better performance. And I couldn't believe it, that like we have gone all this way to like make a Nintendo Switch 2. We've gone all this way to talk about the performance and like how it makes like, you know, Scarlet and Violet play so much better. And I think that there's just not any talk going around about how they made the original Nintendo Switch performance worse when it comes to actually interacting with the console. And then you put that on top of, and this kind of gets back to the price thing, like the experience of using the menus, the experience of shopping in the store, the experience of trying to find your friends online has never been worse on a device that, let me remind you, the Nintendo Switch Lite does not plug into anything. It does not go onto a screen. And that's fine, whatever. I'm fine with the handheld, that's why I got it. But the thing that I feel like is very much lost in all of this, a cost-saving measure for that device, is that there is no vibration in it. It does not rumble, which means that there are certain mechanics in games that I simply don't know exist just because that device does not have that. which again is fine. But for every person who is buying a version of the Nintendo Switch Lite today that is $30 more expensive than it was last week, they don't have Rumble. They have the worst online experience, the worst menu experience, the worst shopping experience than the Nintendo Switch has ever had. And you get to pay extra for the privilege to use it. And I think that that's the part where all of this starts to break down. Like, you can at least kind of talk about, like, okay, well, the PlayStation 5, it's still, like, a front-running console, and it is still, like, highly powered and good. And, oh, look, they put out the Pro, and that does something, too. But when we're talking about increasing the prices simply to outrun a tariff so that, you know, eating that cost doesn't get into the bottom line that shareholders expect, like their returns, I think this whole thing is starting to crumble in front of us. Like, again, I think it makes sense that the price of games go up. That's fine. I generally think it's fine. There's enough diversity in the, you know, the pricing structure of video games as it is now with like incredible indies like Expedition 33 costing $40 or $50. You have that brand new Ninja Gaiden side-scroller game that's like 25. Like, we have much more diversity when it comes to pricing of video games. But the part where we're just maximizing profits in a world where everyone has been maximized to death, you know, the COVID era shrinkflation has not really, like, that has not gone away. Like, we are still dealing with that. We are still dealing with, you know, higher price per item, even if the value of the item remains the same. And that is also not holding true, right? Prices are going up all across the board. So I think it's just very frustrating to see Nintendo get its flowers with all these 10 out of 10 video games when, you know, the art is good, but the means to experience that art, the means to kind of like shop for it, the way that you can put it in people's hands and say, look at this thing that brings me joy, just continues to get further and further out of reach, because the kind of like knock-on effect here is that as those prices climb, the barrier to get new people into games climbs as well. Like, it gets harder and harder to get new people into games when, you know, hey, check out this Last of Us game. It's like this most like transcendental thing that has like changed my life and how I feel about video games and media or whatever. Oh, you wanna play that? Well, that's gonna cost you $500 plus $80. And also there's four different versions you can choose from. So I hope you get that right too, right? And like, that's why there's a TV show, because I can pay, you know, $15 a month to see two seasons of that TV show. And that will bring me into The Last of Us, but I don't get to play the game. I don't get to experience all of that work. And kind of the last bastion, like, holdout of this is like, oh, well, Nintendo's going to keep its Switch 1 around. And the hope, as is always the hope with these things, is that those prices go down. That there will be a way to get a bargain bin Nintendo Switch Lite or a Nintendo Switch 1. And then that will allow people to be brought into the fold to play Mario Kart, to like find like joyous experiences in a time of great uncertainty. And instead, Nintendo has said, well, because those times of great uncertainty are affecting us and our bottom line, fuck you. And also, it's more expensive now. And that sucks. I hate that. Like, it doesn't bring more people into games. It doesn't save the long-term prosperity of this medium. And it will end up pushing more people away because, you know, more and more people are making less and less money. And those more and more people are being pushed out of things that bring them joy, which is, you know, for a broad swath of people, video games. And now those people are just not here anymore. And now we've kind of, just like the death spiral of like Microsoft and the industry layoffs and everything, as we push more and more people away from games, the barrier to get them back into games is even higher, right? Because, you know, video games said fuck you, and now you say fuck you, I'm not going to come back. And, you know, hopefully there's something that brings those folks back, but it's not been an inviting place to bring new people into. It's become this kind of, it's like monetarily gate kept, you know, like console video games is turning into a gated community that's only for the upper middle class at some point, or or, you know, people who are willing to take on excessive debt to find some enjoyment in life, which, you know, guess what? That's fucking most of the world now. Shit. Well, hey, that was a bummer. I just wanted to talk about how Nintendo was raising the prices and their UI is bad. But here we are. Welcome to my economic treatise at 9 o'clock in the morning. Thanks for listening so much. I'm going to hop on this train and get into the office and start doing some stuff. But, I appreciate you hanging out with me. Hopefully that wasn't too much of a bummer. Let me know what you think. I feel like the hard part of just trying out economic policy without notes is harrowing. So let me know what you think. If this kind of resonates with you, if maybe I missed something, let me know. But otherwise, I'll talk to you tomorrow. Have a good rest of your day. See ya.